listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
League of My Own, Swag Gina Davis, only rapper make 100K on your playlist. Niggas talk on Twitter, but in life they don't say shit. My role is so racist. All black faces, we the new faces. Kill them like Jason, grind in my sleep, man, a nigga need braces. Wonder what you feeling like, used to be the nervous type. You ain't mentioned Beano, man, that shit must be on purpose, right? Hostile. Nigga, my style kind of flow to paint a picture Norman Rockwell. I don't eat pasta, everything is low carb. I don't fly coach now, say I fly Goyard. Leave a face covered in that Coast Guard metaphor Mozart. All I do is tell them the truth. M. Fox to my people on some family ties. Magazines got black faces when somebody dies. I mean, look at Donna Summer, she was trying to survive. People wrestle over petty cash when we really should be crying over the 1% like we tipped the milk glass. Fuck y'all, I'ma let my grandkids ball. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we are live on a Monday. Another case of the Mondays.
Yes sir,
hope everybody made it through the Monday okay and is living their best lives. Okay,
same.
I know a lot of people had issues with Game of Thrones last night. It's about that time. It's about time for it to end. And we will do our recap on Wednesday. I believe our guest should be the crew from the Castle Black podcast over at For All Nerds podcast. So looking forward to that recap.
I am.
And if you want to know how I feel about it, I'm gonna say it's, I called it. So I mean, how I'm supposed to feel about it? I feel great. Okay, King's Landing, watch Fox News. That's
duh.
Y'all knew how I felt about the shit, and I wasn't like these cowards on the internet that said, Dracarys, go ahead and get them back for our girl Missandei, and didn't mean it.
They did not mean it. No, they did not. I meant it.
General Sherman, Ulysses S. Grant, two of my faves. Anyway, we are live and ready to do some podcasting. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search the Blackout Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. We appreciate everybody takes the time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
a taser
and an unofficial sport.
What about
and bullet ball? Extreme.
Sir.
That's right. And today's podcast is brought to you by AdamandEve.com. Little sexy lo-fi chill study beat. Listen, okay, I say listen, are you trying to get your freak on? Because Adam and Eve is trying to help you, and they're trying to help you get free and let your freak flag fly free with free stuff that will spice up your bedroom better than salt and pepper to taste.
I hope so.
Okay, coriander, lowry's, some of that stuff y'all all the way in the back y'all don't ever put on nothing. All that of
turmeric.
Yeah. Select almost any item for 50% off, and then get, and then Adam and Eve will give you free stuff. Enter offer code TBGWT at checkout. You get 10 free tantalizing gifts. A sexy item for him, a special gift for her, and a third item you'll both enjoy. I say mix and match, spread them around, don't let nobody tell you what to do.
Mm-mm.
And 6 free spicy movies. Ooh, spicy. That's that smoky garlic on the movies. And plus they will give you free shipping. So that's TBGWT when you go to check out at AdamandEve.com to get all your free stuff. Don't you like free stuff? Don't you want some free stuff? Don't you want to free your mind and the rest will follow? Go to AdamandEve.com, put in code TBGWT, and get 50% off and a bunch of free shit. You're welcome. All right, let's get into the show. All kinds of stuff is happening. Not really sure where to start. I don't think I have very many random thoughts, although I did have one thing to bring up. Mm-hmm. It's not really random thoughts, just something that happened. We was downtown. We went to go get something to eat, and we had a couple drinks.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a burger bar. That place is good. It was different.
It was, yes.
It was different, but it was good. Never had a burger like I had. I had an open face burger with gravy on it. Like, we'll probably be talking about this on a little Smacking Good soon. Mm-hmm.
I had a burger with pulled pork.
Yeah, but it was good. And then we had a couple of drinks, and then on the way back, we was going to the car, and we parked downtown, so we had to go to the parking lot and all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to the elevator, and I said, Karen, press the elevator button. And I'm not saying she was drunk, but she was like, I can't. And I said, it's right there. It's the same elevator we came out of. You sure we came out this elevator? Yes. So I just went and pressed the button. And y'all know why she didn't press the button? Because the elevator said emergency, take stairs.
I just seen emergency. I was like, if I press this button, all the alarms gonna go off. I just seen it was emergency.
It was an alarm button for an emergency that was very specific. Take the stairs emergencies, right?
But it was right above the up down button.
So
I was like, what the hell is this?
Needless to say, we got on the elevator because I had the foresight to know that the button was not for emergencies. It was a warning that if there was an emergency, you would take the stairs instead of the elevator.
All I see was emergency. I was like, I'm drunk, I'll hit that button.
Do you think a fire alarm starts a fire too? Like, pull in case you a fire. Anyway.
I wanna ask you, there's something that I wanna know. And to this question, you have the answers. So tell me what I wanna know. Do you wanna funk? Do you wanna funk? Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you wanna funk, let me show you how. Do you wanna funk with me? Do you wanna funk with me?
All right. It's time for LGBTQ news, which means it's gonna probably be a lot of depressing stuff coming up. Because most of the news around the world about LGBTQ people is horrible, because we treat people horribly when they are different than what people consider to be the mainstream.
Correct.
Today's no exception. I wish I could bring nothing but good news, but it's not one of those days. The Alabama sheriff's deputy, well, it's kind of mixed news right here, was placed on leave over anti-gay comments under a post about an LGBTQ teen's death. So I guess it's good he's placed on leave, although not fired.
Right.
An Alabama sheriff has been placed on leave after he was seen mocking the suicide of an LGBTQ teen. And keep in mind, this is a teen of color. So the world lost the precious life of Nigel Shelby, a 15-year-old openly gay teen who attended Huntsville High School. Nigel took his own life last Thursday after reportedly being bullied repeatedly for his sexual orientation. He would tell me that kids would say things to him that would hurt his feelings. Nigel's mother, Kamika Shelby, told NBC News, I didn't think it was as deep as things I'm hearing now. Nigel's death ignited an outcry from the LGBTQ community as well as its supporters, calling for an end to homophobic bullying and harassment, but the message is yet to hit many, including Huntsville sheriff's deputy. You're a police officer. You're in charge of protecting the public. That means everybody.
The public.
If someone commits a hate crime, if someone needs to report their bullying to an authority figure, these are the people that we're planning to report these things to. And oh, you're homophobic as well. Okay. Not to mention this kid was black, so there's an extra other level of fucked upness to the police doing this, including the Huntsville sheriff's deputy who mocked the boy's death on a local news station's Facebook post. Wow, you were bold. Wow, that's pretty fucking bold.
I think somebody ain't gonna find out who you are.
In the post, the station was using the teen's death to raise awareness about LGBTQ bullying. That's when the sheriff's deputy, hashtag Jeff Graves, decided to comment hate instead of love. Liberty, guns, Bible, Trump, barbecue, that's my kind of LGBTQ. Liberty, guns, Bible, Trump. So it was a stupid ass joke about the initials of LGBTQ.
Because I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, Liberty is the L, G, guns is G. That's what he responded as a sheriff's deputy to the death of a LGBTQ teen. According to a screenshot obtained by NBC affiliate WAFF.
We are the news, and now you made the news.
I'm seriously offended that there is such a thing as this movement. Society cannot and should not accept this behavior. He continued, I have a right to be offended and will always be offended by this fake movement, which requires no special attention but by a person with an alter ego and fake agenda. What is happening?
I don't know.
He commented below an article. So he said the LGBTQ, that's my cue. And then he went on to say he was seriously offended that there's such a thing as this movement. So is this like the gay agenda? Just rushing it down my throat. Society cannot and should not accept this behavior. I have a right to be offended. You're saying this on the fucking news about a dead kid.
Right. Bro.
Like, this is not Game of Thrones, this is real life. This child is really gone. What the fuck? And you're a sheriff. A sheriff's deputy. The Madison County Sheriff's Office confirmed via Twitter on Tuesday officials were aware of the Facebook comment and the deputy was placed on administrative leave until investigation is launched. And what will the findings of the investigation be?
Nothing was wrong here.
He did it, but he back at work. Right?
Right.
He did it, he can come back to work. It's not gonna be like, oh, and after our investigation, we realized that this dude need to go. It's always the same. Place on administrative leave, and we'll wait till the shit blows over and put him right back on duty.
Of course.
Put him at his desk. And yeah, of course, obviously, that's really sad that Nigel Shelby died by suicide based off of that. But it's really a common thing in LGBTQ life at this point, and you know, not much is being done about it, but it's why, you know, people feel it's so important to speak up and stand up and you know, create an environment where you are admonishing those who participate in this shit, you know. And I see it, and this is one of those things where I know that music and movies and shit doesn't necessarily indicate, like, inform what people will do, right? People kind of do what they want to do, but they are a reflection, you know. So there's kind of this chicken or egg thing with entertainment. And I have noticed that, you know, a lot of people have chilled on the homophobia in my lifetime, you know.
I've seen people grow, like, you just time and them just being just growing up and realizing that some of the things they were taught were very ignorant,
right?
And just realizing, and particularly as people get older and as you become more accepting of people not like you, not that you can't be like that when you're younger, but for a lot of people, it's hard to accept people that don't have the same viewpoints and feelings and things that you do. But once you live life long enough, you'd be like, oh, it's all types of people like that, baby.
Yeah, I think also just in addition to that, though, people have made it the cultural norm in a lot of places to be like, this is whack, don't do it. And that's one of the things I always say, like, mocking people and, you know, shaming people, it can help. Like, it doesn't have to be the only tool in the bag. Education is one, exposure to people is one, but, you know, like, it's also just kind of become like, oh, you still on that? That's whack. You know? And I'm not saying there's nobody, there's a ton of homophobia, transphobia, all this shit. You know, if anything, the L and the G are kind of like, you know, more established as the, oh man, you're gonna piss off a lot of people by saying stuff, and sometimes that's all you can hope for. You're not gonna get everybody woke, but you might get them to be scared,
right?
Fear it is, as Daenerys would say. But the thing for me is that when it comes to like bisexual and trans people, people still do a lot of mocking, you know.
Mm-hmm. The rest of them letters, they, for a lot of people, the first two are the only ones that matter, but they, all the letters should matter, but for a lot of people, those are the ones that a lot of people feel quote unquote the most comfortable with. The rest of them, they go but they all in this group together now.
Little, the movie Little, we saw it, we reviewed it for our spoiled movie reviews. Little co-writer responds to backlash over transphobic line in the film. I did not write that particular joke and was disappointed to see it.
It's me, you talked about it in the review.
Yeah, I brought it up during the review. I was like, okay, you know, because when we do our reviews, we think of the things we like and we think about the things we don't like. Even if I'm not offended by a thing, I will bring up stuff where I'm like, I could see people having an issue with this. Maybe I have an issue with it, maybe I don't, but you know, it all counts to the score. And there was this line in the movie that was just blatantly transphobic. Yeah, and
wasn't needed.
Yeah, and I was kind of surprised at this movie that included like so many kind of like woke black women, quote unquote, had this line in it. It was you know, it was just kind of a bad look. Like Regina Hall's in it, Issa Rae's in it, what's my girl, something Martin, oh my god, she plays on Blackish, but you know, like all of them are in it, and it's like, okay, so we're talking about, you know, this movie that a lot of people are going to be excited about because it's black girl time, black girl magic, blah blah blah, and then you got this like transphobic misgendering of a kid joke in there that's like really adamantly about it. And my guess is that Regina Hall had to riff a lot in her scenes because it's a comedy and they do that a lot, you kind of improv, right? And a good editor, a good director saves you from yourself.
All right, they would have dropped that one.
You might, maybe you say a joke that's over the line and they go, yeah, cut that line, you know. We know this is comedy. This is what people don't understand and respect about comedy. Comedy is a high wire act. People are trying a lot of shit. It's why, you know, when people record stand-up, it's always a catch-22 because it's like, yeah, but that, unless it's on like a special or some shit, that's normally them working material out,
right?
Some of the jokes are gonna be fucked up and not land, and unless it's like a huge part of the act or they're touring with it or something, like exposing this artist to like the internet when this may be a thing where they're like, okay, I did this joke 7 times and it bombed 6 out of 7 times, I'm retiring it from my act, I couldn't get it to work,
right? Or I'm going to rearrange it, I'm gonna add to it, I'm going to put it at another spot, all this stuff. And then, you know, audience members get mad when some comedians are like, hey, put your phones away when you come in here, I'm trying to work my shit out, I don't want it everywhere when it's not a finished product,
right? So that is kind of a, you know, a tainted mix, right? But in a movie, you have so much staff, so many decision makers. If they ask you to ad lib, freestyle some things, and some of your jokes don't land, some of your jokes aren't funny, or, you know, you were going for something and it didn't get there. Like, I think in this scene, Regina Hall's going for Jordan, the grown up, is such a mean bully person that she would bully a child and make jokes about someone being trans. I'm not saying that the idea on its head doesn't make sense. Of course it makes sense. You're trying to show that this person is quote unquote a bad person, right? And that life has turned her into a bully. Except in this world where people are killing themselves because they're kids and they're bullied, I would think someone with more power, whatever, goes, not that joke. You know, like you are gonna cross some lines, you are gonna offend some people. I always say every joke offends somebody, whether you like it or not. A lot of people are just okay with certain people being offended. Make a joke about white people, they have privilege, that's okay. Make a joke about men, they have privilege, that's okay. You make a joke about, you know, certain types of things, that's okay. But even those jokes do have a target.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even those jokes are possibly gonna offend someone's sensibilities. All jokes are targeted. Even if the target is yourself, all Agreed. Jokes are targeted, right? So I thought it was kind of odd, and the line stuck out to me greatly when I watched it. Well, of course, on Twitter it got a second life because people start talking about it,
right? It's one of those things when you hear, you like, ooh, and it takes you out the scene. Marcia
Martin, yes. That's her name. So yeah, This week, the film's co-writer Tracy Oliver took to social media to respond to moviegoers' criticisms over the alleged transphobic line in the movie. It's not alleged, it is. In the scene.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's not two ways about it. Mm-mm. In the scene, Regina Hall's character Jordan confuses a young girl for being a young boy. Then when the child mother tries to correct Jordan, she responds, "Oh, he's transitioning, sister." And the mother's like, "No." And then she's like, "He is," or something like, "Oh, he gonna tell you," or something, just some shit like that. Since the premiere, there have been numerous moviegoers and film critics attacking the film writers for that joke. Oliver spoke out and explained she feels similarly to movie fans. She took to Twitter to voice her opinion. As a feature writer, when you hand your draft into the studio, you have no control over what ends up on the screen. Often you're elated, other times you're disappointed. I did not write that particular joke and was disappointed to see it. It was insensitive and unnecessary. Oliver continued to say the joke was disheartening. She said she was shocked to see it in the finished movie. The screenwriter added, "I've been wrestling with speaking up or not, but I had to. That joke doesn't represent who I am at all." Yeah, and that's the thing. When you're in the industry, there's a cost to being the person that's like, "I didn't write that shit, and that's not, I'm not even cool with that." Because now, you know, nepotism is rampant in that industry. You hire people that have worked on other projects. You know, whether this movie's successful or not, you don't want to be the one that rocked the boat. I mean, look at Monique. She's still paying for being the person that rocked the boat for the entire, like, movie production because she didn't want to do extra interviews and shit for Precious, yeah. While many have attacked the film and its crew, allies have also spoken out in support. In response to an angry Twitter user, Lena Waith wrote, "That can happen on TV shows too. Tracy is an ally and would never attack any group of people." Oliver has worked on a variety of projects, including Issa Rae's groundbreaking YouTube series, The Misadventures of Awkward Black Girl. She also worked with Kenya Barris on Blackish, Barbershop, The Next Cut, and Girls Trip. So, yeah. And the thing is, when your name's attached to it, even if they leave an ad-lib joke in the script, guess what people gonna come looking for? You.
Right, because they don't know who the other person is. They're a nameless, faceless person.
And by you voicing out that I didn't do this shit, you actually have kind of outed either Regina Hall, the director, you know, something like that. Like, you now outed other people because it's like, well, if it wasn't you, who was it? You know, now I don't know if not enough people saw it or not enough people were offended or just people don't care in general. Or, you know, to be honest, in our circles, people just like Regina Hall. People just like Issa Rae. People just like Marcy Martin. So they're not going to shit on this too heavy. Whether it is earned or not, they're just going to be like, I don't want to take down the black women on this one, you know, because people do play that team shit. But
yes, they do.
Yeah, the line stuck out to me, man. Let's see what else happened. New study shows people who hate gays are generally less intelligent.
No shit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Let me tell you something else. Racist people are normally stupid as hell, too.
Come on.
I mean, come on now. Oh, man. To have a magazine titled "Intelligence" you offer your low cognitive ability, as they put it, is not exactly a pleasant situation, but that's what happened to a portion of the 11,654 people who were interviewed for a survey conducted by the University of Queensland in Australia. The results of the study, which was led by Francisco Perales, shows that there is a link between the acknowledgement of phobia by participants and lower intelligence or cognizance levels. Yeah, bigotry is stupid.
It's irrational and illogical. I will keep saying that.
When we get a letter up here from some fucking bigot or just somebody that hates that we're, like, you know, trying to be more liberal or whatever, it's always misspelled. There's no fucking spaces, the paragraphs, just one big long sentence. Yeah, it's just all fucking using the wrong "you're" and "there" and shit. Like, they are idiots. Like, bigotry is for the stupid. You know, like, I'm not saying there aren't smart people who abuse and use bigotry to gain advantage because they understand that bigotry makes people stupid and easy to use, but that don't make the biggest any smarter. They're fucking dumb. Like, that's one of the reasons I'd love to be like, it's because I was so morally righteous and woke. But one of the reasons I'm not a bigot mostly is that I just don't like hanging with stupid people.
Come on.
You know? Like, anytime somebody start talking some old, like, I hate gay people shit, it's not soon after that I'm like, oh, and then just in general, you're a dumbass. Oh, okay. Yeah, of course. You know? And I don't... y'all can be mad, whatever. And then there's all the, like, you know, believing in the man in the sky and, you know, the burning bush and all that type of shit. Like, fairy tale shit. And then people, like, if you believe in that, I think you're more prone to be led astray. Awesome. And this is why gay people and women and blacks and all these people are bad too, even though it's not in this book. I'm just gonna tell you to believe me, and I don't expect you to question this shit because you already believe in a talking bush. So you need to fucking believe in this part too, or you're a bad Christian, or you're a bad Muslim, or you're a bad Latter-day Saint, or you're a bad Mormon, or you're like all the religions that covet in that type of bigotry. It's cause they think when you walked in the door, you're a dumbass. Like, for them to throw that at you and you, for you not to question it. You know what I mean? For them to have that level of fucking, like, what do you call it? For them to have that level of, like, certainty that you will not go, I don't think God would want me to hate gay people. And then to just throw it in your face like that, like that's, they, it's like they're saying, well, you're stupid. You believe in fairy tales. So, while we're at it, give me all your money, and also gay people is trash. And so are, women need to shut the fuck up. And, let's see, and these blacks, right? I mean, get on my nerves. All right. Sermon's over. Have a good day. Like, yeah, I'm not surprised that's the results of that shit, man. You know, and I'm not, that's not saying all and all that shit. I know some of y'all in y'all feelings, parse the nuance how you need to, cause you know, I didn't say all. So I don't write up here with no dumb shit, but there's definitely a lot of stupid people that are bigots. And a lot of stupid people that are bigots have been in the church too. Just
come on.
Bigotry is for the dumb. It is for the dumb. It's why when you go up like college education, all that type of shit, you see less and less shit because people are like, it doesn't mean they're better people, but they're literally just like they think about it a little bit longer.
A little bit harder.
Just a little bit longer. And they're like, you know what? Not my business. Or I shouldn't be fucking hating these people. Or what did they do to me? You know, like that deputy, you know, he dumb as shit. I mean, we know he dumb. He left a comment on Facebook. Under the news,
not you the news.
He's smart enough to be a deputy and stupid at the same time. Make of that what you will. Politicians call for trans activists to be burned alive after speech in parliament.
What?
Armenia's first registered trans woman has faced threats for politicians to burn her alive after she gave a speech on trans rights in parliament.
What is this, a Salem witch trial? The fuck is this?
Lilit Martirosyan spoke out against violence and stigma directed at trans people in a speech to parliament 3 weeks ago and called for greater protections. This is the thing I'm talking about with these bigots.
Right.
So then you prove her right.
Yes, you
by
do.
Threatening her. You see what I'm saying? Like, you would think that if you were a bigot, you'd be just think for one more second. And make it a little more complicated, right? Like, oh, well, now if we say I'm gonna kill this bitch, burn her at the stake, I guess that would kind of prove that it is a hostile environment. And she's right to give this speech about they need more protections because I want to kill this person now for speaking up for themselves. It never crossed your mind. Never crossed your mind. It's crazy. Bigotry is so dumb. Oh my God. Since then, she's received a string of death threats and abuse and has seen her address published online leading to protests outside her house. So you want her to feel unsafe. That's the whole fucking point. People don't want trans people to exist. They definitely don't want them to exist in any level of peace.
Mm-mm.
And this is just for her advocating for the rights of her and people like herself. That's it. Hey, man, I really feel unsafe, and I think we need to pass some laws that'll help me feel safe because people are just really wild about me existing. I'm offended that you would say that, and I'm gonna publish your address, and I think you should die. Point proven. I was right. The bigots. We won again. High five each other. Idiots, man. There have been some anti-LGBTQ I protests in front of the National Assembly, and some parliamentarians have called for her to be burned alive. Oh, you can get elected and say things like that in Armenia.
Apparently so.
This is the first time in Armenia when a transgender woman spoke from a high podium of violence against transgender people.
Violence against.
A transphobic man with a knife came to the National Assembly to announce that he would kill me and that others like me must be killed too. I have received many messages via Facebook and email from various people telling me that they will find me and kill me. Martirosyan was invited to speak during the April 5th session on human rights reforms on behalf of the Right Side campaign she founded, but it appears politicians were unaware of the content of her speech, which she used to draw attention to the violence faced by LGBTQ plus community in Armenia. She said, "I am delivering this speech to you as a transgender woman, but I ask you to see me as a collective figure. I stand for tortured, raped, burnt, stabbed, killed, banished, discriminated, poor, and unemployed transgender people of Armenia. I call upon you to carry out reforms and policies to achieve gender equality and to ensure human rights for everyone." Martirosyan was subsequently kicked out of parliament, with politicians from both sides blaming the other for allowing her to take the podium in the first place. Oh, you don't have no friends. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's why y'all let her up there? Why y'all let her up there? Not she got a point and that we're her ally and we're gonna stand up for her. But well, I didn't know either. I don't know what the fuck is happening. I guess it's the one thing they can agree on.
Yes, their bigotry.
Wow. Armenia is a deeply religious society, you know, say, which is home to one of the world's oldest Christian communities, the Armenian Apostolic Church, with more than 90% of the population identifying as followers. Damn. Yo, 90% of them motherfuckers? That's a lot. While the country decriminalized homosexuality in 2003, attitudes towards gay people in the country have been slow to change. In a 2012 survey, 55% of people said they would cut off interactions with a friend or relative who came out as gay. The country ranks second bottom in Europe in terms of rights and support for LGBTQ plus community, according to data gathered by the International LGBTQ Intersex Association. Yo, the thing I keep thinking about is, with Trump and him in charge, how far are we from? We're not much better.
No, we're not.
We're not much better. I mean, I'd be shocked if we came in much lower than 55% of people saying they would cut off a LGBTQ person, a person who came out to them.
Because a lot of the human rights and humanity shit, ever since Trump has been in office, we slow to been going down the ladder as far as they keep saying, hey, it's a problem in America. It's a problem in America. Y'all keep falling down on these rankings.
And we see what motherfuckers keep trying to do. Like, they keep trying to pass all these draconian ass laws.
Come on!
Last one. London to host its first ever transgender pride festival this year. London is set to host its first ever transgender pride festival earlier this week. Performers Lucia Blake and Finn Love posted a Facebook event to announce the festival, which is scheduled to take place in the capital on Saturday the 14th of April in Hackney, East London. According to the social media page, the festival will include live music performances, a series of stalls from LGBTQIA plus organizations, panels, talks from inspirational trans people, artwork that explores our identity, and much more. Yo, dope. I hope everything, I hope everything goes off with that. Obviously, just like Charlotte Pride Festival, I worry about people trying to like get in the parade. Like we had Trump's Gays for Trump float dude here in Charlotte that wanted to get into our pride.
Got mad when it was like, fuck no.
Right. So, you know, good luck with that, you know. I hope it goes off and about time, you know, like past time even. Is there anything else? Oh, you know what? One more. This California city is planning to open the gayest Chick-fil-A in America. San Jose Airport will hoist flags for LGBTQ trans rights in June when the fast food franchise opens. Chick-fil-A's history of supporting anti-LGBTQ causes has resurfaced in recent weeks after cities in Texas and New York reportedly scrapped plans to open franchises of the fast food chain in their airports. This week, however, a California city that last year approved the opening of a Chick-fil-A announced it would move forward with those plans, but with a colorful LGBTQ inclusive twist. The San Jose City Council voted unanimously Tuesday to hoist rainbow flags in support of LGBTQ people and pink, blue, and white flags for transgender rights at Norman Y. Minutan San Jose International Airport, where a Chick-fil-A location is slated to open in June. The vote came after a number of local LGBTQ advocacy groups and city officials expressed their distaste for the inclusion of Chick-fil-A at the airport. The restaurant was included alongside Shake Shack and Great American Bagel as part of a contract approved last year with the HMS host concessionaire. Former County Supervisor King Yeager, the area's first openly gay elected official and now head of the BAMEC Foundation, told the Mercury News that the flags would send airport patrons a counter signal to the discrimination supported by Chick-fil-A. One of those sentiments was Councilman Raul Perales, who suggested the restaurant hire LGBTQ employees and ensure it becomes the gayest Chick-fil-A in the country. I kind of like this trolling of Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to do it, I like the swag of being like, we are going to gay this shit up so hard that you will not be able to avoid it. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, I love the idea of just pulling up at Chick-fil-A and trying to get your order like, welcome to Chick-fil-A. How may I serve?
Folks, this guy's roller skating in a car.
Right. I want like a dude in Daisy Dukes roller skating.
Yes. Take knee high socks.
Right. Because you know the service still got to be good. You know.
Come on. You know they're going to be on it.
You know Chick-fil-A ain't never going to let the service be whack. But that's the cost of, that's what bigotry does? It's like, we're biggest, but we got the best customer service in the fast food game, and it's not close.
Come on.
Well, yeah, that's dope. It's funny, man. We
imagine
went out,
the cow be roller skating and shit. That would be flames.
Free chicken sandwich. They gonna be off the hook.
Come on.
Yeah, it was, it's funny though, because, we went out to eat the other day at this place in Charlotte, seafood place. It has some really good food. We've been going there for years. And on Twitter, you know, I took a picture of the food and was like, yo, this is good. You know, lobster mac and cheese.
Oh, which is fucking delicious. There were flames.
The portion sizes are ridiculous. Like, the portion sizes really just slap Cheesecake Factory right in the face. It's ridiculous. You can't eat the whole, no one's ever eaten the whole thing. Mm-mm. At this place. Anyway, so we went there, we ate, and I took the picture. And then this white dude on Twitter, I guess he lives here too, and maybe he listens to the show, I don't know. May probably just listen to Game of Thrones, who knows. But he was he took the picture, he said, hey, you know, the owner of that restaurant is a Trump supporter, and he like wants them to build a wall and all that stuff. And I didn't know how to break it to him, y'all. But I'm a black man in the South.
They hire gay people, and like, cause there were gay people around us.
I mean, yeah, but you know, and that dude's personal politics might be that. That's kind of the South for your ass.
Come on, now.
Like, I don't even know what to tell you. Like, you're talking about just the politics of Trump or not Trump. I'm just saying, just as racism in general, everywhere, my guy.
I mean, you might as well stay your ass at home then, because everywhere you go, down here.
Yeah, like, the nigga from HelloFresh might vote for Trump. I don't know.
Right.
Like, honestly, that's the South for your ass, is there's some shit where you just like, yeah, so that's not my business. Unless I walk in a restaurant and a motherfucker walk over to me like, make America great again, I don't really have the time or the inclination to give a fuck at the moment.
Is the food good or nah?
Yeah, are you gonna serve me? Like, am I gonna not get served in your restaurant?
That's when I have problems.
You know, are your employees dealing with discrimination?
Right, something it's
just different. I think it's just different. Maybe it's just different down here. Maybe it's just because I'm highly aware of the fact that I'm being black my whole life.
Yeah, and also I think it's somewhat different in certain parts of the country, but also white people, y'all telling us that some shit is fucked up ain't new. Y'all act like y'all are breaking, that's a fucking breaking news to us when y'all tell us that shit. Is like, no, my job, where I eat, where I go, just being or out. It's like,
just, it's not, it's just like, I don't mean to say that, there's no way that's not gonna sound fucked up, but yeah, I assume all white people are fucked up until they prove themselves otherwise.
Same.
Just for my own safety. Like I don't walk around being like, you goddamn Trump voting ass motherfucker. But like, when you talking about like 70% of white dudes voted for Trump and who knows how many more support him, whether they just didn't vote or not.
Right. And he run the state of North Carolina. Odds are most white people you interact with down here voted for him.
Right. So maybe they can't conceptualize, or maybe, you know what it is, it's just with Twitter and stuff, everything's become real simple. It's we're boycotting blank, we're not doing this, we're not doing that. And for some of them, it's kind of that newfound wokeness, so that like it's easy to voice that shit online and say this is support, in my opinion. But I think it's when you black and you down here, it's just like, nah nigga, that like, nah, I'm just shopping at Walmart, or I'm going to the hardware store. Long as this motherfucker don't come out in one of them hats or some shit, long as he don't say, call me some racist shit or say some racial shit, that's just the fucking, that's the Sunday truce, as my man, Will Strickland says.
Right. And also, you got to survive, everybody. That's the thing. People that are LGBTQI, they got to survive like everybody else.
What do you mean? Where like, is this like, coming from?
And the reason why I say that, because like you say, when we out and about, we are actually functioning, we adjust and adapt, and they adjust and adapt too. As far as, they don't know who is anti-gay and not anti-gay until you say something, open up your mouth.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, they like, if it doesn't come up in a conversation, it's right. Not most of the time people just not talking about that shit down here, you know. And I think maybe other places where you're living in a place where it's like everybody's liberal, everybody's this,
right,
then you might feel more empowered or like put pressure on folks. But even in those cities and shit, like especially when you're talking about ownership, you're talking about rich people, talking about mostly white people and shit in a lot of cases, yes, they probably fuck with Trump and you just don't even want to know. You don't want to know which one of your favorite celebrities do, black and white,
right?
Like, you know, it was just a thing that was funny to me, because it shouldn't be funny, but I guess it's the gallows humor of being black, right? Because it's like, it was funny to me that he thought that was a revelation that would make me be like, I never again. Mm-mm. I will throw these fish flitters right in the goddamn trash. But I'm like, nigga, this is,
I will not, unless that man come smack it out my hand and say, make America great again, bitch, I'm going back.
Yeah, I'm like, this is, I'm black down here, dog. I don't know. Like, we've been had this thought.
Right.
We've been new. it's just funny, man. You gotta laugh, man. White people be,
they really people, act like they breaking some news.
It's like, he busted the door of the restaurant. It was like, hey, Soylent Green's made of people. Like, it's like, like, no. Like, nigga, if you don't leave my people sandwich alone, to get the fuck out of here.
Right. I've been waiting 20 minutes for this chicken fried hog. Get out of here.
Come on,
you're slowing the process down because everybody looking at you.
It's funny too, I would have never known that man supported Trump because the food tastes black.
Oh, the food is so fucking good. Ain't no white people in the back. It's all them people brown, probably.
I could tell by the fried catfish that the cook voted for. The cook definitely didn't vote for Trump.
No, that okay. Cook didn't. One time, what was it, that meal I had? I had some kind of turmeric meal, and that shit was flames too. No.
Right.
Mm-mm. Everybody brown back there.
Yeah, it's like, you know, remember this? It's been a long time ago. It's like kind of when we started the podcast. It's been that long. Y'all remember when Paula Deen was racist?
Mm-hmm.
And then they showed pictures of the restaurant and it was just niggas in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't care about them agendas, man.
Mm-mm. We be like, is it good?
We from down here, man.
I can deal with a little bit of racism if it's good.
We from down here, man. Like,
right, and I guess people in other parts of the country, they act like, oh my God. You be like, well, bitch, if you lived down here too, you would adapt and adjust too.
That white person was from Charlotte, I think. that's how they must have known that. But it was just funny to me because I remember that Paula Deen shit. It was like full of niggas lying out the door, niggas, because it's like, oh, Paula Deen half off because of racism sale.
Yes, her pots and pans was on sale. People was like, bitch, these things is good quality.
People bought them. Black yes. people bought them pots and pans so fast.
They was real good quality. Be like, I don't care. I will fry some catfish in this good ass pan.
That shit was just funny, man, because it's like, yo, like, I don't know, people is aware, but they not performative like
right,
that.
Right.
They not stupid. It's not like right. they're like, I agree with Paula Deen, but it's just like, all right, man, well, I know y'all boycotting, but can y'all like move out the way so I get my chicken plate real quick and then y'all can continue y'all boycott?
Come on, I mean, she fucked up, but this shit is 50% off.
Can y'all boycott after 5? Cause like, I'm just trying to get the happy hour special.
I'm on my lunch break, bitch.
Real quick, dog. Right. Yo, down with the man and all that, but, yeah, I'm gonna need that plate to go.
Come on, with a side of sweet tea.
Right.
y'all got hot sauce packages?
Right. That shit was so funny at the time, man.
Right, because the place Roger talking about, every time you go in there, they have something wild, like, for specials. They have, like, frog legs, like, shit you don't even think about eating. You be like, yeah, no, you know, this is so unique that I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, it was just funny, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, this is why I don't boycott shit. Cause
me either.
I would be terrible at it, and I'd
be like, "Is the food good?"
I try to tell people that shit all the time. Like he would, I'll tell you what, I would boycott that place if the dude ruined it for me. That's the only
right.
way.
Right.
Like you have to make it not fun to go somewhere, and then while I'm like, "Oh, I'm gonna have a bad experience," then I'm out. But I don't boycott anything on principle. It doesn't even matter what the fuck it is. Like mm-hmm. it's always just that it wasn't fun, and I like to be honest about that. Because I want people to understand that you don't have to perform. You don't have to turn everything into activism or a cause. It's okay to be like, it's not that I'm such a great virtue signaling person. I literally just realized that it was not going to be fun to do this thing. So mm-hmm. now I'm out.
Yeah, it's at all the shot. It's only one restaurant every time we walk past that I go, fuck them. It's just
yeah,
one.
And that's because they were racist to us, though.
Correct.
Right? It's not like I've ever heard a racist story about them. I've never heard another black person have a problem mm-hmm. there. But we went twice and had issues that we think were directly because we were black. And so we don't go back. But that's it. Like, it's not like, once again, I don't have a good time there. You see what I'm saying?
No,
like,
it's two. It's that place. Then it was the other place where I had to show my ass. So, yes, it's two.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Remember the one up there off of the little hole in the wall we went in? Wasn't nobody but me and you in there. And they sat there and
yes.
watched us. So
that place is racist too.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I actually saw on their Yelp though that other people had racial issues with it. We talked about it on the show.
Right.
It's Pineville Premium Pub. I don't mind saying it on the show because I don't want no black people going in there. Cause
if you come to Charlotte,
we got confirmed other black people having racial issues up in there. It wasn't just us.
Mm-mm.
So yeah, don't go up in there. And they didn't seem to mind that Yelp review and didn't challenge it or take it down.
Mm-mm.
So I hope
this show up there to stay.
Yeah, I hope other black people are finding it helpful because I'm sure they find it helpful that y'all won't come
on.
All right, let's see what else is happening. Speaking of this administration, there's a heartbeat abortion bill that in Georgia that everybody's been talking about, and Mississippi. The heartbeat abortion bill basically says that it bans abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected, which can take only about 6 weeks into a pregnancy, which is well before many women even know they're pregnant.
Right,
that's maybe one missed period, maybe
right
one late period,
and it's so fucking frustrating. Somebody said online, and I agree with this. They was like, "Look, if you ain't never bled through all your pants in the seventh grade, you don't get to make a choice about women's rights when you have not had to deal with a period. You don't get to make that motherfucking choice on that, because like you say, a missed period and." For a lot of women, their periods are fucking irregular. Like you might go 3 months without one, 2 months with one. Like, it's fucking everywhere. And the thing is, like you say, that's before you actually know. Like, it's not even detectable by then for a lot of women.
Yeah, because especially depending on the timing, it could literally just be, my period was a week late. And now someone's like, you can't get an abortion. You know, and there's more states that are trying to pass these laws as well. So If the Mississippi law survives a court challenge, it'll be nearly impossible for most pregnant women to get an abortion there, or potentially in neighboring Louisiana or Alabama or Georgia. This was on the docket. And I told y'all, people thought Roe v. Wade was settled science.
Mm-hmm.
They thought protected. They didn't listen to Barack Obama talking about the Supreme Court. They didn't listen to Hillary Clinton talk about the Supreme Court. They're still blaming her as a candidate, not the American people's own petulance and ineptitude and complicity. They're not blaming any of that. It's all about the politicians. They fucked up. This was on the docket.
Yeah,
it was obvious that they want to challenge. They've been doing this even during Obama's administration.
Mm-hmm.
They have been steadily trying to tick away and find ways to restrict abortion rights, that through trying to defund Planned Parenthood, from closing, making these rigorous laws where there's only one or two people in a state that can even perform an abortion for women.
Right.
even the tar and feathering of Planned Parenthood with propaganda that says all they do is abortion, when abortion doesn't even represent a significant portion of what they do.
And no government funding goes towards that.
Not that it would bother me. They could be 100% abortion. It shouldn't matter. It's right. A right. It's somebody's body and their choice. What I find to be interesting is that people will tell you that they didn't take it for granted, they're not misogynist, and then they told people to sit on their hands during the election. If you didn't feel like it, don't worry about it. And now you see these motherfuckers acting outraged about this. How can you be both? You clearly can't be both. To me, we are really hoping that RBG doesn't just die in her sleep tonight.
Right.
Every night, that's what y'all are hoping, because Trump gets to pick that seat. And we knew that the next president could select up to two or three Supreme Court justices, possibly. You know, RBG had to stay on for four more years hoping that y'all get it right in 2020. Like, that's crazy that we are hanging on by a thread in our society. And that is, like I said, this was all could have been prevented. All this, like, when people say two sides of the same coin, both, they just white people to me, they had the same policies. They don't. And only an idiot says that kind of shit. That's the kind of person that thinks politics doesn't matter or affect me. It does. Just because you don't like some shit doesn't mean you're not affected by it. You can't be stupid about these things. You know, you have to be strategic about this shit. You have to be smart about this shit. You may be fatigued and tired and shit, but then just stop thinking about yourself, you know? Or maybe it is you that could be affected by this shit. I don't know. But, like, just don't burn the rest of the world because you're willing to go down with hell to hell in the handbags. That's just so ridiculous, man. So
right, yeah. And then you have a lot of production companies saying that they're going to pull their business out and stop filming and producing, because Georgia's a beautiful state for a lot of scenery and movies and films and, you know, TV series and things like that. And, you know, my thing is, it's a catch-22 to that, because you also take away jobs.
Yeah, I don't know about whether they're gonna, the question is, do y'all think that the boycott will work? Because, mm-hmm. There's been several things done in Georgia that people have said they were gonna boycott for, and it hasn't changed anything.
No, because
and I think people feel like, well, punishing the state by not giving them income will change something. I can't stress this enough. These motherfuckers don't care.
Nope, they don't care about the people suffering, the jobs lost, and all that shit. The people making these decisions don't actually care about the populace as a whole.
Part of it is that they want to see that suffering. They don't care.
Right.
Like, to them, it's like, good, Hollywood liberals leaving my state. Like, they're so blindly just myopic about the optics of what they're doing. They only want to look the part. Pat McCrory here in North Carolina, we experienced
that
it.
Nigga.
It's not really even, like, we're saying Pat McCrory, but it's not really him. It's the Koch brothers, mm-hmm. and the people that fund them. They have one job, to spread bigotry from the highest seat in the state. That is the only job that they are worried about. It's the only thing that occupies their brains. They get money off of doing this kind of shit.
Correct.
They're not worried about their pockets. They're not worried about the state. That's all just they're obfuscating the fucking point to be like, no, 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 it's, look over here, look over here, it's states' rights, states' laws, you can't tell us what to do in Georgia. But meanwhile, they're lining their pockets with fucking like private money and shit.
Come on.
So you're not going to scare these politicians by making them unpopular. Pat McCrory happily lost his fucking office and barely lost it for being a bigot. That's the other thing. This isn't necessarily a losing strategy because people vote for the bigotry. That's the newsflash. Everyone keeps thinking it's the economy, it's economic hardship, it's everything else. Even if it did cost motherfuckers their jobs, they want a white man, they want a bigot in charge. You understand? This is the same thing happened with the coal miners. They lost their jobs. I just read something today where they're like, we gonna need to look into investing in the green energy in order to train these people so they can keep making money, because tens of thousands of jobs are being lost. And I say, you know who told you that? Obama.
Right.
Okay. You know who else told you that? Hillary Clinton told you that.
Right.
You didn't give a fuck because it came from the wrong type of person's mouth. They weren't some straight white male bigot. You voted for the bigotry knowing they were lying to you and knowing you would lose those fucking jobs. You didn't care because the bigotry is what they vote for. So no, boycotting the fucking productions in Georgia, it'll make like liberal people feel better and shit. Like, we always show them. And then the fucking laws will continue to stay because they don't actually care. They're not going to do the right thing. Even here in North Carolina, I'm telling you, Pat McCrory barely lost. It took months to recount and to get him out of office. And that's because that was after almost losing the NCAA tournament here, losing the ACC tournament here, and losing the CIAA tournament here, not to mention football bowl games. They almost lost all of that shit, and he barely fucking lost because people don't actually care. And he don't care. They not scared.
No. Back to the minors thing. What's so fucked up about that is that years ago, they was like, hey, y'all, we'll train y'all for free. They was like, here is free schooling to train y'all. And they was like, no, I'd rather have black lungs. The fuck is this?
Yeah, I don't know who in the chat said, they had asked a question about what it would take for me to boycott something, but maybe they took it down. Or did you take it down, Karen?
I didn't take nothing down.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess they decided they need that answer. All right. let's go to the next story.
Yeah, because when it comes to boycotting, it's where are your lines? And everybody's lines are different. And everybody thinks because I boycott something, everybody else around me has to boycott it too. And that's not so. And just because I don't boycott something, it does not mean I don't care, and it does not mean I'm not concerned.
Oh, nah, this is the only thing I wanted to add. A lot of things that people call boycotts aren't boycotts.
No, they're not.
So, that's the only thing is, we've talked about it before on this show, but the anatomy of what a boycott is online is essentially you saying, I don't like this thing.
Right.
Or I'm upset about something. It's not the same.
Cause y'all don't,
and I think you do a disservice to actual boycotts and organizers and organized movements when you say that shit. For example, I'll give you a good example. I'm boycotting the NFL. Are you? What are your demands? Who have you organized with to boycott the NFL? What were you doing for the NFL in the first place that you will do again once your demands are met? You know, this it's work. It's not just a cliche or some shit you put on a t-shirt. Like, it's actually it requires work. To what you're really saying is, I'm upset and I'm not watching the NFL. I'm upset and I'm not going to eat Chick-fil-A. What I'm not, like, that's fine too. You don't owe anybody anything.
Mm-mm.
But your consumerism isn't necessarily a movement. You know, like a boycott, I'll give you a good example of a boycott recently that kind of went off. People didn't talk about it much, but the Gucci boycott, it was actually organized. Dapper Dan had a list of demands. They had celebrities and other people that are major, like, promoters of that brand be like, we ain't doing that shit. They, when someone crossed the line, they would fucking call them out, you know. And Dapper Dan ended up getting some people some jobs there and getting investment into the community from Gucci and getting them to start programs to help young black people become like fashion mavens and whatnot. That's a boycott. You just saying I'm not ordering Papa John's tonight is not a boycott. You know, so I think one, you have to look at the definition of it. Two, I really don't boycott a lot of shit because I like literally haven't seen a lot of organized movements that really do a good job with it. I just don't do shit because it's not fun anymore. And I think that's at least the honest truth, rather than to say, you know, for example, I don't listen to R. Kelly's music, right? I haven't listened to R. Kelly's music for a long time. Probably, shit, maybe before we started this podcast or right around that time. But it was just like, yeah, I think this guy did this shit, and I also can't listen to his music without thinking these songs are about little girls. So I'm not a fan anymore. You know, I can't do it. It's not a matter of, it's my principles. But I don't grandstand on it like I'm like, I'm better than you. I don't listen to R. Kelly. And you listen to R. Kelly. Like, I don't walk into a party. Did you just play some R. Kelly? Like, it's not about me. You know, if I'm in a, like, I'm not trying to like, oh, a DJ played this. I'm going to go up there and tell them, like, no, it's whack to me. That's the end of it. It's not a movement. It's not an organized thing. It's not a boycott. I think it's whack. I think he's whack. That's it. You know, so all right, let's see what else we got here. Karen, I hope you're sitting down for this one.
I am.
Men participate in negative gossip about others just as often as women.
No shit. Men gossip too. I don't know who these people that think that men don't gossip. They might gossip differently, but they gossip.
I for one am shocked, because I would never. Okay. I don't do that as a man, okay? These females.
Hey, girl, I just wanted to let you girls know that I'm a real messy bitch. I'm a messy bitch who lives for drama.
Oh, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. That's really me.
Yeah, just because it's your favorite ball player, it's still gossip.
That's what I was going to say. What do you think, like, First Take is now? What do y'all think?
All these breaking news about baby mamas and drama and got divorced and separated and all that stuff. All that stuff is gossip. Men don't consider it gossip because it's quote unquote is under the guise of quote unquote sports. Mm-mm. So since it's sports, we, you know.
Nope. That's not why men don't consider it gossip.
Why don't they? Because it's a woman straight, quote unquote.
No, that's not why. Because men do it. It's just not gossip when they do it. It's the same. I mean, it's the same technically, but it's just not.
It's the same.
If a man is, it's like, by virtue of me being a man, me saying all this shit, it's just different. It just don't count. Women, only women gossip, you know?
Yeah, like somebody said, you ever walked into a barbershop?
Yeah. I mean, literally, most sports media is just gossip. Like, it's not even, like, I could click on Bleacher Report right now, and I guarantee you at least like five or six headlines on the front page are gonna be like, rumor, report, so and so. And it's always some messy shit like, report, anonymous player says Kyrie Irving ain't shit. You know, like it's always so, like it's basically everything except you ain't heard it from me, okay, but I heard that Kyrie Irving ain't shit and his teammates don't even like him. Hold on, here he come, hold on. What's going on, Kyrie? Hey, girl! Like, it's the same fucking thing. It's, you know, it just don't count when men, half of the fucking, hip hop radio shows and shit, you know, mm-hmm. It's Joe Budden podcast and they're talking about some rumor or innuendo or something that happened. You know, it's them bringing on like, Instagram model and arguing with her on the Breakfast Club. It's Love and Hip Hop discussions and bringing this guest onto your shows. Like, all this shit is men's shit that men participate in, but then be like, it's just different because we men. It's just not, it's not gossip anymore, you know?
It is, y'all. I hate to hurt your polar feelings. It is. It's the same thing.
Of course, there was a lot of gossip leading up to the royal baby's birth. Seems like you can't really escape it, whether it be rumors about famous people or a person sitting next to a word. By definition, gossip is just an act of talking about someone who isn't there. So not all gossip is malicious, but when it is, it doesn't discriminate. They always had this image of girls just like gossiping to each other about people, one woman said. It's true. When you think of the town gossip character, you're probably not thinking of someone named Steve. I totally think that there's a stereotype that women have to do it more, another woman said. But gossip, especially the nasty kind, is an equal opportunity sport. According to a new study by the University of California, Riverside, men participate in negative gossip about others just as frequently as women.
Mm-hmm.
It takes up 52 minutes of a typical person's day.
Ooh.
I think it's natural to talk about other people gaming for status or something like that, one man said. I'm not saying what we would gossip about, said another. I'm not sure what we would gossip about, said another. Man, you, I guarantee, like, y'all got, oh, you know, so-and-so didn't get that home, or just whatever, you know. I seen him at the club with another woman, you know. Yeah, niggas talk. It's crazy.
They do. People talk, yes.
Yeah, it's not, this is that kind of research where you're like, I can't believe y'all got paid to do this, but also, I can't believe this is a thing that we feel like doesn't happen already.
Correct.
Let's see. R. Kelly's sexual assault hotline backfires on investigators. Women call in sharing sexual stories.
What?
In January, Cook County State Attorney's Office in Illinois set up a phone line for victims who wanted to share their stories about allegedly being abused by singer R. Kelly. Since then, it hasn't provided much for investigators as far as prosecuting R. Kelly, but it has apparently fed their imaginations. According to TMZ, the hotline is being severely misused by numerous women calling in to talk about their alleged sexual rendezvous with the R&B star. The calls from mostly women are full of highly detailed alleged sexual experiences, with some callers sharing multiple occurrences and bragging about sleeping with R. Kelly. Men who called in repeatedly spoke about stories they heard from women they know, none of them saying they had sex with R. Kelly themselves. Kelly already has sexual assault charges against him in addition to claims regarding his involvement in sex trafficking. Investigators are currently searching for video evidence of the singer engaging in sexual activities with a minor. Again.
So they calling up there talking about their sexual encounters,
right,
versus the victims calling.
Right. Right.
The people's phone lines.
I consensually had sex with him as an adult, so he must not be having sex with little girls. He didn't rape me, that those kind of calls. I don't know if it's just people he put up to it. I don't know if it's people volunteering it. I will say this, though, as I always had to note with this guy. You know, people are quick to do the men are trash and black men are this and that. This dude is protected by black women in a way that I just do not understand. Mm-hmm. I never will. And I hope to never understand. Because, like, obviously not all, just like it's not all any group, but still, like, his protectors is a litany of just people that, I don't know, they like his songs or something. And they just, like, do you know how out of your way you have to go to call a sex hotline to protect some motherfucker because you like a song? Like, that's crazy to me, you know, to have that kind of attachment to any level of a celebrity. You know, they might be lying about this sex shit. It's just the fact that they feel like this will show the police. Now free him and leave that man, good man, alone. Mm-mm. I'm like, well, you're saying that in to basically say fuck you to your sisters. That's who his victims are.
Right.
Your daughters. People that could be your niece and nephew, your niece and shit. And you're like, I need to protect this nigga, you know, the woman that bailed him out of jail. Like, I just don't get it, man. This seemed like an open and shut case. There's so many other things that people rally. Look, black women were Chris Chet Michelle's number one fans, and they shut her motherfucking career down for singing with Trump. So don't tell me it can't be done.
Come on.
Something about this dude, though, it just, every time, yo, it's every time you just see, like, and he got away again, it's always just some people partying, like, ha ha, yeah, you know. And you would think maybe it just feels more egregious, because it's not like there aren't black men who are complicit. We've seen the videos of him toasting and black men like celebrating and shit, but mm-hmm. like when it comes to defending him, like putting their money and their lives on the line and their reputations on the line and lying for this man and shit, it'd be black women. I'm so confused by it. And it's been years now, so I know it's not a flash in the pan or it's going to change. Surviving R. Kelly was full of black women telling you their experience, and you still had black women that was on some, he good, or I don't care, or he ain't do that shit. This is all a setup. Like, wow, sis. And I know, because if you go to, like, articles on Facebook when people post, like, when news publications, like The Griot, Madame Noir, The Root, black publications, News One, go to their Facebook. I mean, you don't have to go, but when they report on R. Kelly, look in those comments.
Come on.
It's disgusting. I'm like, it's people using their government names. They not ashamed at all to be like, leave him alone. He didn't do nothing. Like, how much evidence do you need? I mean, they was consensual anyway, man. Them little girls wanted it. They fast. Them little girls need to go to jail. Shit like that. Where I'm like, wow, how do you come to these conclusions, dog? It's just, I don't know, it's so disheartening to see that kind of shit. and to call a sex line a sexual assault line to try to turn into a sex line is some disgusting depravity to reach
right.
That
and I feel bad for the people that got listening to that bullshit. You like, look, I've been hired to actually investigate, not for this.
Let's see. Students who owe lunch money to Rhode Island District will get jelly sandwiches until debt is paid. Warwick Public Schools, which has more than 9,000 students, said the district-wide policy will go into effect May 13th. Students at Rhode Island School District who owe money to their lunch accounts will have the sole option of a sunflower butter and jelly sandwich until they are able to pay their balances. This is that whole poor people just don't wanna have money thing. Warwick Public Schools, which has more than 9,000 pre-K through 12th grade students, said the district-wide policy will go into effect May 13th. If money is owed on a paid, free, or reduced lunch account, a sun butter and jelly sandwich will be given as a lunch choice until the balance owed is paid in full or a payment plan is set up. Warwick School Committee Chairwoman Karen Baucus told NBC News that the sandwiches are served with the vegetable of the day, a fruit, and a milk. Public schools in Rhode Island are mandated by state law to provide lunches to students. So it's like, oh, we're going to feed you, but we're going to make sure that you eat, you know, the worst food we can give. A couple things I would like to highlight here. Number one, I bet you they throw out tons of food every day.
You know they fucking do.
It's like, throw all them square pieces and fucking sloppy joes out and then get these niggas peanut butter sandwiches. Two, I bet those most of these kids are probably black.
And brown, yes.
I bet a lot of these kids are black and brown. Three, I said two things, I have another. Y'all remember that dumbass thing about kids can get Uber Eats at school and motherfuckers was up in arms about how these kids deserve the right to spend their money, it's parents' money or whoever money on getting Uber Eats to come to school despite the security and safety risk and extra work and shit. And I said, yeah, let's be real though. What y'all think those kids look like? Right? Like, you see a bunch of black people arguing about this shit online. I'm like, what you think them kids look like? You think it's all black kids, or you think it's just a bunch of fucking kids with privilege and money flaunting that shit at a school where you got other motherfuckers on free and reduced lunch or not eating at all or getting this kind of bullshit? The inequities are so ridiculous. And then to encourage that type of vibe in a public school, you know what I mean? Like, it just seems so wrong to me. And maybe I'm conflating two different issues but I really think it's connected. The idea of like almost flaunting on your fellow classmates in that way. It's not like they're bringing the lunches from home or some shit,
right?
It's like such a, and I know it's a small thing, but it's like in that age when somebody else can't get $2.50 together to get a lunch. Actually, I don't know what lunches cost anymore. Maybe it's $4, but whatever, when they can't get their money together to get like a lunch, when they're basically being tarred and feathered as like broke kids, and you got these other kids waiting for Uber Eats, like, it just feels weird and wrong, and like the wrong lesson to be told to kids at that age. Like, I don't know, it just don't seem right. But you know, but maybe it's just me, I don't know.
Yeah, because the thing is, they have these ridiculous policies. This food is paid for. This food is tax money paid for. And y'all toss it out, y'all throw it away, y'all throw it in the trash, and then you tell people, well, if you owe us, you're gonna get this. And people talking about the sun butter. That's because they can't do peanut butter in schools because of peanut allergies. Like, some, I think a lot of schools actually ban like peanut and peanut butter and shit like that because, you know, they don't know who got allergies and they don't want to have to deal with the consequences of a child getting sick.
Think Pretty Smart said Rhode Island, how many of these kids are black? Was this the Uber Eats school? I don't think it's the same school. I'm saying it was a big debate online about like kids should be able to get Uber Eats and shit, and I was like, yeah, I don't think, like, y'all niggas fight over the wrong shit. Like, how about kids should be able to get a lunch whether they can afford to or not?
Agreed.
As a baseline, and it shouldn't have to be some like, you know, sackcloth lunch. So because the point of this is to
shame
them. If the point of this was, I would accept this if the point of this was, guys, we actually can't afford to pay to get like lunches that cost money to give these kids. We don't, you know, it's not that we're throwing other good food out and shit, we literally just can't afford it. we don't have the resources, so these are the choices. These are the only choices we have. These kids either don't eat or we have to give them a very a much less whatever lunch, like something that costs less. But that's not what it is. It's, you're broke, sign up for a payment plan or give us our money or you will eat this poor person lunch. And when we hand it out in school, of course all the kids will be very mature about it, right? Though, oh yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, you getting a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Well, I guess that's okay for the 10th time this month. So no one's gonna make a joke about that. Chriselle said they pulled back on this plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Because you good. Had at what is it, Chibata? That dude put like $77,000, and you had people raising money. Mm. You had a lot of people.
Chobani.
I'm sorry. You had a lot of people giving money and stuff to the school. And the thing is, I think at one period of time, some people said that they had been trying to do this with the school system, and they would just rejected it.
Yeah.
You know, and now you have a lot of them. Actually, if you owe, you can't. Some school system, you can't graduate if you owe.
Yeah.
So,
and oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Some system you can't graduate, and then a lot of times, like you say, it's a way of punishment. It's a way of shaming. You know, and like, it doesn't make no sense, because I was on free and reduced lunch. So my thing is, like, I understand the importance of it. And the thing is, for a lot of children, free breakfast and free lunch, for some children, these are the only meals they get in the course of a day, you know, and it's a shame the food and stuff that's wasted. Instead of throwing that food away, why don't y'all turn around and give that back to the children and be like, here, take this home for dinner or some shit like that? Versus, because I have, my mama used to work for the cafeteria here at CMS, and yeah, she used to talk about the food they just throw away and toss away and shit like that, because like, they not gonna eat it all.
Yeah. And the numbers, nearly 70% of school lunches in Rhode Island are served for free or at a reduced price based on family income, according to the state. But some parents who commented on the announcement from Warwick Public Schools said even though they qualify for free lunches, their children still owe money because they had added something to their trays that wasn't included with the free lunch, like extra milk. Other parents noted that the policy of giving out jelly sandwiches to students who owe money would likely leave those children embarrassed and prone to bullying. This is absolutely awful. Our schools shouldn't be in the business shaming children, one person wrote beneath the Facebook announcement. Just give the kids lunch. We can't spring for a chicken patty for a hungry kid. What if this is their only meal of the day? Another commenter on the post said. So yeah, and the thing for me is, it's not necessarily about the numbers. If it's one kid, it's too many. If it's one kid, if it's a small number, it's even more of a reason to just give them the fucking lunch.
Right.
Like, if it's a lot of kids, then you might have even had an argument if it was like, look, man, like, all these kids is on this shit. We really can't afford to feed, like, the 30% of these people that can pay can't afford to cover the people that can't pay. If they could have made that argument, but they didn't make a numbers argument. They made a shame argument. You know, so I find it to be kind of bullshit.
Yes, and also a lot of them have gotten to the point now that they're starting to use collection agencies,
right,
to actually do this, you know, versus them trying to collect the debt themselves. And the thing is, if I ain't got it for the school, you know the fuck I ain't got it for a collection agency. Fuck them too, for a lot of parents.
And in this economy,
right,
with people losing jobs, with people's, like, the value of their wages stagnating and shit, I guarantee you, like, there's not much middle class anymore, you know? So you got a lot of people that are working poor. They got jobs. They're not some lazy do for nothing, whatever. Like, they, and then even after that, if they were, these are their kids. So what the fuck did the kid do wrong? Yeah, it says, the issue is not specific to, oh, they tried, and they also tried to be like, well, look, we used to give a cheese sandwich, which did single them out, but now we go with an on-the-menu meal, which is always the same meal, the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's still singling them out. Because, you know,
actually, you went down.
Right, right. But you know people ain't picking that meal, on general.
You know they not picking that fucking meal.
Get the fuck out of here.
Talk about children.
They said, she said more than 1,600 students in the district owe $8,700. Wait. More than 1,600 students in the district of 8,700 owe money. So we're not talking about a handful of kids. 1,600. So 1,600 kids in that district owe money. So, yeah, man, this isn't like just some, oh, we most, you know, these kids just somehow ain't got it and everybody else do. Like, this is singling them out. We send out letters, certified letters to every family. All they do is contact us to try to work it out. The issue is not specific to Warwick. More than 75% of schools reported that they were owed money for lunches at the end of 2016-2017 school year. Another nation would probably call that some sort of an epidemic, but okay. According to the Nonprofit School Nutrition Association, and 40% of schools reported that the amount of students without adequate funds to pay had increased during the same school year. The association...
Mm-hmm. I'm about to say, you don't say, like you say, parents losing jobs, people getting laid off, two parent incomes, or two people incomes become a one person income. You know, these are the things that they don't talk about. And what's the biggest catch 22? It's when you're working, but you make just over whatever the minimum is. Like, you know, because they have like a cap. You're working and you make just over that amount where you don't qualify for any of it, but you can't afford to pay it either.
Yeah, it's real frustrating, man. And you know that stigma is gonna bother, like we have dress codes in school, but this shit is too far. You see what I'm saying? Like, we don't want the kids to get bullied about their clothes, but yeah, let's single them out as this motherfucker got is owes the school money, so we not feeding him the same as y'all.
Right? People act like children are mature. Shit, adults ain't mature.
Right? So yeah, it's just kind of ridiculous, man. They also said, the associate said the schools found that they were able to help parents and students by allowing them to pay outstanding funds online, reminding them about low balances and taking advantage of charitable donations. Warwick Public Schools, meanwhile, refused a $4,000 donation offered to them from a local restaurant owner, Angelica Pinta. I have met with Warwick twice, and the second time I left in tears, and they refused to take a $4,000 check
to pay off these debts.
So tell me it's not about the money. It's about the stigma. It's about singling out these parents and these kids.
Because people are like, I will pay. I will help you get this debt down if the debt is the problem.
The school said that they didn't take the money. The district said they didn't take the money because they didn't want to be responsible for allotting which students the money benefited. Each time these offers were made, Warwick Public Schools stated that the school department was not in position to single out or identify specific students that should be selected for a reduction in their lunch debt while excluding others. So do you need the money or do you not need the money? Because when you need money, let me tell you what, beggars can't be choosers. So if you needed the money, you'd figure it out. When you don't need the money, you need the shame. You know, I know I don't have the numbers, but man, I swear to God, I bet a lot of these parents is black and brown, man.
Yes,
in
sir.
In a world where black people don't own shit, like when our net worth is like $6 and white people net worth is like fucking thousands of dollars because they've been able to own land their entire tenure in the country and shit. I guarantee you, man, this shit ain't adding up right, man. Shit ain't adding up right. Like,
y'all lotterize everything else. Y'all couldn't put no motherfucking lottery on it. It'll be like, whoever owes the largest debts, those are the ones we pay off first.
Some of the language, some of the whole, like, we'd rather stigmatize these kids than take the money. Like, it don't feel right. Like,
particularly when people are like, I will give you the money. Here is money. And the thing is, the only reason why they reversed it, because of fucking shame. They trying to shame the kids, and people shame them. Here's some money. Pay these fucking debts off. What the fuck is wrong with y'all? 100.
Yeah, that's 100.
100. Fuck them.
That's ridiculous. There's no way that's not black people. There's no way. That's not black and brown people, dog. I don't care that it's Rhode Island. I don't know what the fucking population is there. It don't matter. No, there's 0% chance that is not black kids. That's a 0% chance. All right. You know what? Let's just go right into Guess the Race. I don't want to do fucking with black people today. That was enough.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
Ba-da-ba-ba.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race. The number one gang show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to Guess the Race. And of course, everyone playing is a racist. All right. Let's go to our stories. The first one, an Indiana school bus driver lets kids drive and gets charged with a felony.
Oh shit,
that sounds like a fun school bus driver though.
They ain't got that, what, that class C license?
Class C license,
yes, class C.
I don't know nothing about that.
Crazy Taxi.
Crazy Taxi.
I love that goddamn video game.
And away we go.
I played that shit in the arcade where you sat and that shit will move around.
So let's get to this driver. A school bus driver.
I'm old, y'all. I'm old.
Okay. All right. We get it. A school bus driver in Northwest Indiana has.
You trying to tell me something? That's cool. You trying to move the story along now.
I'm sorry to try to do this show and get it done before the time runs out that we have in the chat. I'm sorry. Trying to do my job. School bus driver in Northwest Indiana has been arrested after letting three students age 11, 13, and 17 drive her bus without proper licensing or consent. Several students filmed parts of the incident and uploaded it to Twitter, spreading the news across the school and internet almost instantaneously. Oh, you snitches. You snitches. In a news, she trying to teach y'all to drive and y'all hating. In a news release, Chief Deputy Jeff Briggs of the Porter County Sheriff's Office said the three students took turns driving the bus down public roads in rural settings. A video shows what? Do y'all not have anywhere to be though? what kind of route is this that y'all have enough time to do driving lessons? A vehicle shows one of the students piloting the bus with the bus driver, Jondria McAtee, standing beside them giving instructions. The incident happened last Thursday in Valparaiso, Indiana, which sits roughly 50 miles southeast of Chicago. After a parent complained to a Boone Grove High School resource officer, the Porter County Sheriff's Office investigated the situation and made the decision to charge McAtee with neglecting a dependent, according to Northwest Indiana Times, a level 6 felony. When McAtee went to the Porter Township bus barn to pick up a final paycheck, she was taken into custody. Oh wow, that's how they get you. Should have sent somebody else to get it. In the second video, McAtee could be heard saying, "It's all good, it's all good. I'm letting her stop at Michael's stop," as she sits in the seat behind the young driver. The Porter Township School Corporation is angered and disappointed in the actions of the driver, said Stacy Schmidt. Oh, maybe she just was gonna use them to take snaps later. Like, okay, now you drive to the next stop and then your turn, you drive to their stop. And then at the last stop, y'all all get off the bus and I'll drive home. All right, Karen, guess the race.
Black.
Karen is going with black. Let's check the chat room and see what you guys believe. Let's see.
How she not high direct deposit?
I don't know. Black, that name, black, Negro. I bet the well-meaning sis had a bonnet, black. Like Spirit Airlines, black. Yeah, they do let you pilot the plane. turn that bus into a Tesla, black. Black, hey kids, drive this bus, I'm too lit, black. I'm tired, can one of y'all little niggas drive today, black. And black, man, all y'all went with black on this one, huh? Well, the correct answer is black. You knew it was one of us, guys. We all did.
That name I'm about to say.
Yeah. It was like John Tia or some shit.
But I said, ooh, times done changed. White people naming their kids that stuff.
Yeah. Mecca T. That sounds like a Pootie Tang character.
Yeah.
It kind of looked like a Pootie Tang character.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And I don't know if she had on a bonnet or not, but she had on some kind of hat, some kind of headwear.
Yeah.
Teaching a little white kid how to drive.
Yeah, the edges is back about 3 inches too far.
Yeah, she had just in the homecoming. It was a bad time to take a picture.
Right, all her edges was gone.
It was gone. Let's see what else we got. A former corrections officer and his girlfriend are charged with beating the woman's mother to death.
Oh, that's never good.
Yeah, Karen, you said a handful there. A former New York City corrections officer and his girlfriend. The things I do for love.
Apparently so.
Have been charged with murder 2 years after the pair allegedly beat the woman's mother with a barbell.
Oh!
Wow.
So with the exercise equipment?
Yeah, barbell.
They really trying to work it out, ain't they?
guess they couldn't wait to be together. Nassau County police said 27-year-old Ralph Kelper and can I play this? Is this a thing?
We begin with the shocking murder on Long Island. Police say a former New York City correction officer and his girlfriend attacked the woman's mother with a metal barbell.
For nearly 2 years,
you were doing so well.
Mother remained in a vegetative state until this weekend when she died from that attack. Eyewitness News reporter NJ Burkett live in Hempstead with the details. NJ.
Yeah, Dave, a shocking crime. She lingered in a coma for nearly 2 years. But yes, the victim's 21-year-old daughter and her boyfriend were arraigned here in Hempstead within the past hour. Both of them are charged with second-degree murder. Yes, a stunning case here in Nassau County that goes back quite some time. Francesca Keel said nothing. She was led from the Nassau County Police Homicide Squad this morning. She is charged with the murder of her own mother. Ms. Keel's boyfriend is charged as an accomplice. He is the one who's accused of actually beating the woman to death with a barbell outside the woman's apartment in Long Beach nearly 2 years ago. The detectives say they conspired to kill the victim, 56-year-old Teresa Keel, after a business dispute, that they were involved in developing a dating app, and that Mrs. Keel defrauded Kepler out of $350,000. That is what is alleged in a civil lawsuit that Kepler filed. Now, police say that at some point after the lawsuit was filed, Kepler and Francesca Keel plotted the assault that led to Mrs. Keel's death just this weekend after the victim had lingered in a coma, as I said, since the assault in 2016.
This case originally happened on December 4th, 2016, where the victim, Teresa Keel, was assaulted outside of an apartment she was renting in Long Beach. She was hit several times about the head with a barbell. It's caused severe injuries to her head and a loss of her right eye.
Now, Francesca Keel had not been charged in connection with the assault. She is now, again, charged with second-degree murder in the murder of her own mother. Detectives describe a particularly brutal assault. With Mrs. Keel's skull shattered, she lingered in a coma, as I said, and died just this past weekend. Much more on this developing story coming up on Eyewitness News first at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
All right, Karen.
Black.
Karen is going with black for the couple. Let me get the chat room and see what they believe. Long Island Lolita, white.
We begin with the shocking murder on Long Island. Sorry. Police say a former...
Long Island Lolita, white. White, pain and gain, pink toe, white. I hope on the grift, white. White, white. Young black entrepreneurs, says Juwan. Well, most of y'all went white. You went black, right?
Mm-hmm.
Karen went black. And she's wrong, guys. They were white. Some of y'all did get it right. I'll see if I can bring that picture up. Where is it at?
Yeah, Lolita.
Lolita? What does he mean, Karen?
Francesca?
They were white. I'm looking at the picture, Karen.
Oh, I know. That's why I picked black.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got it wrong, buddy. Okay. You tried, and you failed.
I did try.
And that's all. Sometimes that's all you can do.
Can I get a picture?
I'm bringing it up right now. They're really white too. They're like white, white. Is it showing yet?
Not yet. Oh, they real white.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's like as white as you can get right there. It's like Lannister white almost, you know. So, yeah, Karen, you're 1-for-2 now. Going into the bonus round. Let's see if you can make up for it.
I'm gonna try.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
But now we go into the bonus round, and we'll see if she can redeem herself. All right. Here we go.
Oh, shit. I never heard her to get that far before.
Let's see. A girl ordered $350 worth of toys on her mom's Amazon account, and the photos are priceless.
Oh, they think this is cute? White.
They just started unloading box after box after box, said Caitlin's older cousin, Rhea Diallo. Her mom went to her Amazon account and saw three pages of things she had ordered. Turns out Caitlin ordered $350 worth of toys, video games, and board games. She knew exactly what she was doing when she did it. I was so surprised that a six-year-old knew how to do one-click next-day shipping. Well, it is one click, though, but okay. Although Caitlin seems quite pleased with herself, she didn't get to keep the spoils or shopping spree. Everything except the Barbie has been sent back, and Diallo says she's being punished. She did not get grounded, but she does not have access to the internet for a month, she said. Karen, guess the race of little Caitlin and her mama.
White.
Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room and see what you guys believe.
Thought it was adorable. White.
Okay. Let's see. Black. The baby didn't get her ass beat. White. Okay. A black mom would send the Barbie back to white.
Ain't that the truth? Everything going back.
Oh, it's smart. Disposable income, white. Just no internet. Oh yeah, white. Fucking with your parents' money is cute. That is a white child. Nigerian, black, white. A black mama wouldn't have that much room on her card.
Oh,
Chriselle.
Oh, ouch. The baby would have maxed the card out.
Karen went with white. The correct answer is white. Some of y'all did say black, though. Yeah, this is clearly white because, one, the news came out there.
Come on. When they say, dude, this was cute. Mm-hmm.
To her mom, they took these pictures for the gram. Like, look at mom smiling, Caitlin smiling. Mm-mm. This is her with the boxes coming out of the thing, smiling.
Would have been no smiling. Been like, oh, I'm rejecting all this, Mr. UPS man of Amazon man. Take all this shit back with you.
She took a picture with the Amazon dude. Mm-mm. Look at her smile like a little scamp, like, ah ha ha, I'm adorable. White shit. It don't get much whiter than that.
Yeah. Anybody else would have seen that beard. The fuck is this?
Oh boy. Oh, that would not have gone that way in many a black household.
I'm like a think pretty smart. Yeah, the Barbie goes back to you get nothing.
It wouldn't have been no smiles, no adorable smiles,
no adorable picture. Mm-mm. That man would have been mad. Oh, everything you getting ready to load off of this address, take it back. Yeah. I don't even take it off the truck, mister.
Don't even open it.
Return
like,
to sender.
You wouldn't have known there was a Barbie in the box because we wouldn't have opened shit.
Not a motherfucking thing.
Put this all back on your truck and turn around and bring it back to Amazon. My goodness. But shout out to being an adorable white child because it made BuzzFeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wouldn't have been no news. Yeah, but you wouldn't have got not a nay-ray thing.
Yeah, they were like, pack your ass up too. You going to Amazon. That's it.
Are you one day free shipping?
This child is broke and it needs to be returned for a night. Full refund, please. Sword ratcheting this time. Time to talk about all the crimes in the world that still happen every day with swords as the main culprit in the crime and the people who have access to them. Okay? We take guns not seriously as we need to in this country, but we definitely ain't taking swords serious. I mean, come on now. We can't even stop gun crime and we got people out here just walking freely like they shoguns and samurais and shit.
Come on,
it's ridiculous. Every day here at the Blackout Test, we endeavor to cover these crimes because nobody else is willing to shine a light on the sword crimes of America and the world. Okay, people love to talk about the fucking gun crimes, but we haven't worked our way up to that yet.
Mm-mm.
And today's story is no exception. There was a gas station sword fight caught on camera.
Oh shit.
Now I know what you're thinking, Rod, with the what are the precincts or prefectures of Tokyo? No, that's the thing, it didn't happen there. Oh, is this like somewhere in China? No. All right, is this John Wick 3? Is this just like an extra scene where they were filming John Wick? No, that's not it either, guys. This happened in Huntsville, Alabama.
Alabama?
Right. Where Beyonce's daddy is. Okay? This is just a gas station. Imagine you just going into the fucking 11 to get some gas, and then
this is why I pay at the pump.
A motherfucker just pull out a sword. How is that okay, guys? How can we live in a civilized society where that happens and we're just supposed to be okay with it? Let me see if I can tell
you. Incredible story you just won't believe. A robbery turned into a knife fight inside and outside a Huntsville gas station. Lindsay Connell is the first alert.
It wasn't a knife fight. It was a sword fight.
Right now with us to tell us all about this story. Lindsay, you even have video of this.
That's right, Liz. Seth Holcomb and Lainey Nicholson, who you see behind me here, were arrested early Saturday morning. They allegedly tried to rob a Conoco gas station on Pulaski Pike, armed with knives. And the surveillance footage was just released to us by Huntsville police. It captures the scary incident and how the clerk fought back. Take a look.
Surveillance cameras show how a daring robbery played out at a North Huntsville gas station, and the clerk made for a surprising turn of events. It happened early Saturday at a Conoco on Pulaski Pike. According to police, Seth Holcomb walked up to the counter to make a purchase. He leaves the store, then comes back in as if to make a second purchase. That's when he pulled out a knife at the counter. What he didn't expect was that the clerk would pull out a machete of his own. Holcomb tries to run away at that point, but the clerk remotely locks the door. That's when a full-on knife fight broke out, tearing up the store. Holcomb eventually escaped the store by throwing something through the window. But the clerk chased him outside.
Damn.
That's when the second suspect comes into play. Lainey Nicholson was waiting outside the store near the suspect's car. She allegedly also pulled out a knife when the clerk chased the first suspect out and also started fighting with the clerk. Holcomb ran back inside the store and took the cash drawer out of the register. But the clerk didn't make the suspects get away easy, pounding on their car with his machete. He told police that he wanted to leave enough marks on the vehicle so that they could easily recognize it. A dangerous chain of events, cameras documenting the whole thing. A clerk who did what he could to defend the business and himself.
Now, the suspects were able to escape, but they were arrested by police a short time later. They're charged with robbery and offenses. Amazingly, there were no serious injuries in this incident, and no medical treatment beyond first aid was needed by those involved. Liz, unbelievable.
That was amazing.
What in the raisin Arizona kind of crime was that?
I don't know, but they picked the wrong cashier.
And he was black, too.
Yeah, he locked the door remotely.
That's the biggest.
Fuck the game up.
That's the biggest twist of the whole thing. A black person fighting that hard for somebody else's money? I make $5.75. Y'all can have this register.
You want it? Here you go. I give you the fucking pin code.
Y'all want a free machete, too? Damn. That's the one.
Take all the snacks you want.
I'm more mad.
I am disgusted.
I'm more mad about that than the white people trying to steal the A black person almost died for some white people money. No thank you.
No thank you, buddy.
In America?
Have you heard? In America?
Have you heard how they be treating us?
You know they got insurance for that, right?
Right. I don't think so, homie. All right. We got to get out of here, guys. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Appreciate y'all that come through the chat live.
We do.
Thank y'all. Premium people, I will be putting a interview that we did with the Story Geeks podcast on our premium feed. They also have a podcast, The Story Geeks. You can check it out, where they interviewed us. But the full interview I'll put behind the paywall for the premium feed for you guys. So it's like a nice little treat if you want to hear, because the full interview is behind their Patreon. So I know some of y'all don't subscribe to that. But you guys subscribe to us. And if you're premium, we want to hook you up tonight. So thank you so much, guys. We'll be back. We may take tomorrow off. We may not. If not, we'll see you tomorrow. If not, then we'll see you definitely Wednesday night.
Yes.
All right. Until next time. I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.